This convention special podcast is sponsored by Google. Our friends at Google are working hard to create great technology products for everyone. They're inviting you to participate in Google User Research Studies, where you can help shape the future of accessible products and features and get rewarded for it. Check out our tweet for the sign-up link at blindbargains or head to google.com/user research. Now, here's JJ Meadow.
2018 summer convention coverage, and thank you so much to Google for sponsoring the convention series, telling us about some of the great Google products that are available and some of the presentations you're doing at convention. We have Roger Benz here. He is Accessibility Program Manager for G Suite for Google, and here to tell us about some of the latest with that. Roger, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for hosting me.
So why don't we go a little bit high level at first and actually talk about, some people might have not realized, what exactly G Suite includes.
G Suite is our set of productivity and collaboration tools, which includes the products like Gmail, Calendar, Drive, Docs, Sheets, Slides, Hangout Meet, Hangout Chat, and there's a few other things that also fall into the G Suite of tools.
Wow, that's quite a few. It certainly has expanded over time. And then, of course, you can use this on a variety of platforms, correct?
Correct. We have it available on a web browser that you can use on, say, Chromebooks, on Windows, Macs, using the different browsers within those, and also the different screen readers. For example, on Chromebook, you'd be using a Chromebox screen reader. On Mac, we'd be using VoiceOver. And on Windows, you can use NVDA or JAWS, depending on whichever one you want. Mm-hmm. We also have G Suite available as applications on Android, where you would be using TalkBack, as well as other assistive technology that you want to use, like Voice Access. And also, we support the G Suite applications on iOS.
That's great. Of course, going across platforms, too, most of the commands and interface are going to be the same no matter which platform you choose to use, correct?
Correct. There's some differences, based on the type of, say, technology you're using. But on, say, the computer side, since we're running inside of a browser, the shortcuts are all the same within our applications. The shortcuts are different based on the screen reader. They have their own differences. And on, the Android and iOS, we to try to support the same configuration gestures that you would use in general for applications. So we try to tailor also to the platform conventions that's used.
Great. Now, of course, you're here at the convention. We're here at ACB in St. Louis, and you're doing presentations at both conventions, you and the Google team, and some new things that you're sharing with G Suite. Why don't you tell us about some of those?
So one of the things we want to talk about is exciting is that we recently supported Braille in Google Sheets. And with that, you do need to make sure you get the latest version of NVDA and JAWS. And like for NVDA, it needs to be 2018.2. And for JAWS, it needs to be 2018 with the latest patches applied to it. Mm-hmm. We've also announced have support for magnification, specifically where we do cursor tracking. And at this time, that's available only on Chrome OS and Mac. We are working on Windows support, and we hope to have some announcements for that in the future. But we don't have any timelines at this time. In addition, a couple of the applications I'm going to be highlighting in this convention is we've done earlier this year, we announced and released a major update to Calendar where it's got a whole new UI to it. It's a new modern look and feel to it. But also for the screen reader users, we've improved the accessibility to it so that now instead of just, say, the schedule view, you can also use the day view, the week view, the month view. We've also surfaced more information to be readily available to you. For example, if you've got a calendar that has multiple calendars on it, you can actually know, is this, say, for example, an event from JJ's calendar or Roger's calendar or anybody else's? And then also some information like the RSVP. So we've made getting to the access and information much easier and quicker for the user.
So why don't we deep dive into some of these a little bit more? You talk about the calendar. You've added a whole bunch of new keyboard shortcuts and interactivity is the way that you can move around, or how does some of that work?
So the shortcuts on calendar are still very similar to what we had before. But for example, if you have, say, virtual cursor turned off or you're in focus mode, if you press the letter C, you can start to create a new event. And then if you, say, want to move around to different days, you can type the letter G, and then it'll prompt you for go to a particular date. And then if you've ever navigated to a different area, you can also press the letter T to return back to today. You can also go into some other shortcuts. N and P is the way you can go to the next or the previous your period based on your current view. For example, if you're on a day view, it'll go to the next day. If you're on a month view, it'll take you to the next month.
And these are self-voicing, right? So the idea being you don't have to try to switch as much between focus mode, browse mode, whatever you call it on your screen reader.
So in Calendar, you can use whichever mode that you want. So you can use it, you know, we've designed it to work in both ways. So it is kind of what you say, self-vocalizing if you're using the focus mode. But if you do want to go ahead and use the browse mode, you can also navigate through it quite efficiently using the browse mode or with JAWS, that's the virtual cursor on. And a couple of other things that we did add with the new calendar is we added some headings for, you know, the beginning of the day. So it's much easier to navigate around within the calendar.
And of course, a lot more navigation options, like you mentioned, in the different views. So to a blind person, what would be the advantage of, say, using day view, week view versus the agenda view that many people might be used to using?
It's a good question. And, you know, it's all, you know, up to, you know, the individual for what, you know, method they want to use it. The day view, one of the advantages, if say if you do have multiple calendars, they're presented side by side, whereas in the schedule view, they're interleaved between each other. Mm-hmm. The other thing is it's more, you know, contained to the information within the day view. You know, the week view gives you, you know, the advantages that you can just kind of, you know, when you're navigating to the next and previous, you're jumping by a week instead of by the day. And then the month view, you know, again, you can jump that way, but also you kind of get things out of the glance that if you're using your left, right, up and down arrow keys, you can go through the different days and then you get a subset of the events on that day. And then if you want, you can hit enter to drill down into it to get the information. So it kind of depends on the user, which techniques that they want to use to be able to navigate around.
You said it works with shared calendars as well, collaborations. I know a lot of that's trying to find the open meeting time where people will color code things or things like that.
Yes. You know, and there's different ways to find, you know, the open times, you know, that say if you're showing, you know, the calendars from multiple people, you know, the information is interleaved that way. But the other thing is if you're going to be, say, scheduling events with somebody else, you know, if you've got, you know, kind of access to the calendar, you add them to your event and then you go down to what we call the suggested times and it'll give you a list of times when, say, multiple people or everybody that's in your event are open and then you can just quickly choose from that because it's a menu.
Okay. Let's transition over to Braille and Sheets, which you mentioned, of course, works with a couple different screen readers right now, JAWS and NVDA, at least on Windows, right?
So the Braille support works with all the different screen readers, you know, that it works on, you know, Windows, as you said, with NVDA and JAWS. Mm-hmm. You'll use the latest versions of that. It also works on Chrome OS with the Chromebox screen reader and then also on Mac with a VoiceOver. One thing I do want to mention is for the Braille support in Sheets, this is also similar to the Braille support that we have in Docs. So under the accessibility menu, you want to go down to the settings and you want to enable Braille support in order to be able to use the Braille display within Sheets. I do also want to mention that this setting is applied to both Docs and Sheets. So if you have Braille mode already enabled in Docs, it will be automatically enabled for you in Sheets. And conversely, if you turn it on Sheets, it'll be applied to Docs. And also I should mention here is, you know, even in Docs, that when you say Braille mode, it is something you can use if you're using a Braille display, but also even if you're just using text-to-speech from a screen reader. So it can be used in both modes.
You also mentioned new magnification features. Go into a little more detail about how that might work.
So the thing with the magnification support is the main thing that it does is when you're, say, typing within the screen, the magnification porter will now do tracking to that position. So it's more like cursor tracking to be able to, so that you don't have to manually move the screen around using your mouse and stuff. It'll automatically track to it. The one thing I do want to mention here is if you are going to be wanting to enable the magnification, you do need to go into the accessibility setting and enable magnification support within Docs, Sheets, and Slides.
I see. And then once you do that, then the magnification will just, it'll work transparently with the currently supported.
Yeah, for whichever platform that is supported.
Awesome. One more thing that you're going to talk about in your presentations, a thing that people may not be familiar with, Google Meet.
So Google Meet is our video conferencing system, which is available on the different platforms, you know, from, you know, a laptop or also from Android and iOS. The one thing you do have to have is something with a camera and a microphone. And this is a very simple way to, you know, have, you know, video conferencing meetings. It's also tied into Calendar. So when you are booking your meeting, you can set up the option to have a video conference available right there to be able to, you know, have a video meeting with somebody. And you can have multiple people into it. it depends on whether you're using, say, a consumer account or the business accounts as far as the number of people that you can have. And there's different options available if you do have the commercial accounts.
And the accessibility comes both for someone that's organizing a meeting and someone who wants to participate in a meeting.
Correct.
And I've actually was just using this pretty recently, and it's very it's pretty self-voicing when you're turning on and off the microphone and the webcam and things like that. It's very, very intuitive to use.
Yeah. And it's the way we've done the integration in the calendar, it's just something there so that when you have an event on your calendar, if you press enter to open up the event bubble, one of the things in there is a link that you can just go to and then quickly join into the meeting. You don't have to remember the code that's for the meeting. It's just all there as a link for making it easier to use.
And then so can people join on a computer platform or a mobile platform to come on the meeting? Or
correct.
Awesome. So you're doing your presentations at the conventions. Of course, you have a lot of materials for people that might be newer to G Suite. How would you suggest maybe getting started? I know you guys have a lot of documentation that's out there. What's like one of the better ways to start learning that material?
So the one resource that we recommend people use is our Help Center articles. And we've got several different articles for each of our applications. And the most convenient way to find that is to go to g.co/gsuiteaccessibility. And that has a webpage that has, lists all of our G Suite products and then the Help Center articles associated with accessibility for those different products. And the g.co is just a URL shortener that we use within Google.
And of course, there's on the accessibility support desk as well that people can contact. And
right. And then also another resource that we want to, I do want to highlight too, is, like earlier when we were talking about the keyboard shortcuts for calendar, the keyboard shortcuts are available within our applications. So some of our applications, it's a Control/\. Mm-hmm. For example, that's what you'd use with DocSheets and Slides. In our other applications, it's just the Shift/, which is actually the question mark. And that's, for example, what you would use inside Gmail and calendar. So you'd use those two different ones, and those are also highlighted on our Help Center articles as a place to, we even list all the keyboard shortcuts.
And there's a fair amount of consistency too as far as shortcuts across applications. Not necessarily 100%, but there's certainly quite a bit of similar shortcuts when you're cutting across from one to the other.
Correct. Yeah. We are trying to give the user some consistency so that there's commonality for using our products. Some other things you can do for support is we have an email support, and then later we're looking at also launching some chat support. But for the email support, you can send an email to disability-support@google.com, and there's our support agents will get your request and reply to that. And that support line for that can actually be used for any of the products within Google. That's not limited to G Suite itself. Another resource I do want to mention too is if you're, say you don't remember the URL that I gave you earlier, you can also go to google.com/accessibility. And in there, you're going to find information about what we're doing in Google on accessibility in general, but also all of our products have links in there and information on them. So if you want to find out information on, say, Android or Chrome or Assistant or some of our other applications, that's a great resource to use as well.
So if people want to contact you, other than, of course, you can do the feedback as far as, but if they say have feedback on the G Suite apps or other things like that, what's the best way for them to submit feedback?
There's a couple of ways you can do that. Is you can send the feedback through the disability-support or also on the google.com/accessibility. We have a form on there that you can go in and provide feedback or even questions to Google.
Thank you so much, Roger. There's more Google podcasts coming throughout convention, so stay tuned for those. And thanks so much again to Google for supporting the convention coverage here in 2018.
You're welcome, JJ. It was great talking to you. And I hope everybody is having a great summer and they find this information useful.
Exclusive audio coverage. Visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.